In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is
in our
shadow.
When I was around 10 years old, I had an older brother, stepbrother, and he had a habit of teaching me to do things I shouldn't do. And so I was in the backyard one day, and we were hitting stones over the river. We had a river behind us, and we would hit the stones, and then, of course, there were trees on the other side, but there was also a house. And so occasionally, you know, the stones could hit the house. The river is only like 14 feet. It's a Vermont river, not a huge river. And so with this wiffle bat, we were picking up the stones and just whacking them towards the house. And I was just having the best time. It was great. And 5 minutes in, I'm still going and just going with the stones, and I start to realize something. Wait, I feel lonely here. I'm the only one hitting stones. And I hit them, and I hit them, and then it occurs to me, something's wrong. And I turn around, and both of my parents are standing there, just watching me hit the stones, And I had a profound sense of being caught, as you would imagine. A sense of shame, and what are you going to say? How are you going to wiggle out of this? I used to be able to blame my brother for whatever trouble I was in, but there they saw me for all that time. How long had they been standing there watching me hit stones across the river? I don't know. But anyways, I was caught. None of us likes this feeling of being caught or discovered or being exposed. And the language we hear in today's gospel about the great judgment, it has the sound of a legal tribunal. And we tend to think about it in our minds as like a courtroom, that we would go to court and we would essentially either plea our case, argue our case, and that God, Jesus Christ, would sit on his throne and judge us in the presence of the world. This is the image the scriptures draw. This is the image that some of the fathers draw as well. But the other image the fathers draw that's not based on a tribunal or not simply based on the literal words from scriptures is that God is light and that God is holy, that Christ is holy, and that the great judgment is simply standing in the light of Christ and being exposed for what we are, seeing more clearly. Now, the ironic thing is that in the example of me hitting stones, I obviously know I'm doing something wrong. But most of us are doing possibly many things wrong that we're unaware of. The story of Adam and Eve has Adam and Eve, when they fall, immediately covering themselves. They're not only covering and hiding so that they can hide from God, they're covering and hiding so that they can hide from themselves. So they don't have to see their shame, so they don't have to see their own nakedness, their embarrassment. And fallen human beings do this. We cover and hide from our own selves so that sometimes we're just as unaware, we're unaware of our sins. We're unaware of where we may be unholy and broken. And so this judgment is essentially stepping into the light and being exposed. But the light is still a gentle and loving light. But the exposure, my parents were still gentle and loving when they confronted me as well. But the exposure itself creates great pain and great shame. And we've been given one life to examine ourselves, to cultivate our hearts, to become sensitive to the spiritual life and to the state of our own souls. And we've been given this life so that, and we've been warned, that at the end of our lives we will be exposed. And that this exposure carries the possibility of being unpleasant. This isn't so that you walk around fearing a thunderbolt from God, or that you walk around feeling condemned and crushed because you do bad things. It's Today's gospel is the gospel of sobering up. It is asking you to be awake to yourself. It is asking you to come to your senses and realize that as nice as this life is that it ends, and that in the end of it, we will be assessed. Now, how does our Lord assess us? Well, I mentioned the light, but beyond that, God created man. He created Jesus Christ as the prototype of what we were created to be. As Christians, and you've heard me say this many times, our goal in life is to become Christ-like, to become everything that by grace that Jesus was by his very nature, to be transformed into Christ, to live lives where sin is put away, where Christ is put on, and where virtues are obtained. Some of the signs of a Christ-like life are a soft heart, a sensitive heart, a loving disposition. You will know them by their love for one another. So God creates man, Adam and Eve, and the goal of them is to ultimately become like the prototype, like Christ. And that is what we'll be judged by. To the extent that we obtain Christ-likeness within the time we've been allotted. Now, let's back away from where you're going with this in your mind, and you're thinking black and white, maybe. You're thinking maybe that obviously you're nothing like Christ, which, you know, from my experience of you is obvious. You're nothing like Christ. I'm nothing like Christ, you might say. But let's get away from this black and white mentality. We can't save ourselves. We can't transform ourselves. We're asked to be sober. We're asked to turn to God. But ultimately, you are a gray area. I am a gray area myself. On this one side, I am very Christian. On another side, strangely knotted up and broken. So we're not asking you to simply put on a pious presence or to condemn yourself because you're not perfect. But again, back to sobriety. Notice that when I was caught hitting the rocks, how embarrassed I was. Why? Because I thought I was doing it by myself. I thought I was doing it without anybody noticing. I was getting away with something. When I turned around, I was exposed. If you live in the presence of yourself as a gray person, as a person who is not fully a saint and not given over totally to being a sinner, if you know that about yourself, if you live in that space, then the exposure isn't that great at the end of the age, because you're only acknowledging the truth about yourself anyways. So part of our judgment is, do we know who we are? Do we know how we are? Have we taken account for it? Have we asked God to forgive us? Have we asked him to cover us in our insufficiencies? We cannot overcome our insufficiencies apart from the grace of God. So the light comes, the loving light, and the sheep are separated from the goats. And in today's gospel message, we hear very clearly what? That God is going to judge us because we didn't fast, right? Didn't he say something about the prostrations that we were supposed to be doing? Wasn't it mentioned how we forgot to light candles or forget to kiss the priest's hand? I don't think it was any of those were mentioned. What was mentioned was that, did you feed me when I was in prison? Did you clothe me? Did you seek me out? You see, the soft heart is not self-absorbed. And when you're not self-absorbed, you see the other people suffering out there. And because if you're full of the grace of God or trying to do his will, you're not simply living as a social justice warrior. You are obeying him and listening, but mostly you're seeing the pain of the people around you. A hard heart is self-absorbed. Why would the goat be the people who didn't do these things be condemned? They didn't see anything. They didn't notice. Well, it's not just because they didn't see. It's because their hearts didn't see. It's because they're self-absorbed. They're hard-hearted. And they are the ones that ultimately are surprised by their own exposure. It is the soft heart that serves others. It is the Christian who is cultivating his Christian life, who is being transformed into the image of Christ, who looks out from himself or herself and sees those in need and serves them. Those services are the fruit of the Christian life. The root is Christ in us, the transformation, and that introspection and that sobriety is the root of it. So we've all been warned. We've also been assured these last few weeks that God is loving and kind. And so what we are encouraged to do as we take note of the great judgment day that is coming, that will come upon us, is that we begin to live honest lives. That we attempt to stop lying to ourselves. That we remember that, much like my parents standing behind me, that God is always watching, not to throw a lightning bolt at us, not to condemn us, but as a loving parent who wants to correct us and guide us. And that in this one lifetime we have, it is our turn, it is our time to get to know who we really are, the dark spots, the light spots, and to offer whatever we are to Christ. Because ultimately, it is all we have to offer, is what we are. Now, we may not be fully transformed in this life, but it is only in this process that we can even obtain mercy, the grace of God, and mostly at the end, to not be surprised as those goats in the gospel were. May, as we face the dread judgment seat of Christ, whether we think of it as a tribunal or whether we think of it as a light that is exposed, may the one thing that we be able to say to Christ is that I've already told you all this. You know me. And may he say back to us, surely I know you because you made yourself known to me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.